The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. I missed my cue, Diamond. We were in here chatting it up, I was looking at the Huga cards, and
we're all just having a good time.
Shoot, they're playing the music. Oh my goodness. Well, welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Carla Palmer and Aviana Berrientos in studio with me today. And Ron Inserta. He's a great guy. He's an athlete, he's a trainer, he's a lot of things. You know, he's going to be talking about overcoming adversity. He is the owner, or one of the owners, you are a co-owner of Oak Fit in Oak Cliff, down in the Trinity Grove area. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about overcoming adversity. We've all done that, haven't we? I think everybody does. Well, you know, and what's great is we've got Dr. Meg J coming on the show today, and she's going to be talking about the untold story of adversity and resilience. Supernormal is the name of her new book. And I really like it because it normalizes things, you know, hence the name Supernormal. You know, things that we go through in life, we don't realize how they really help us to become who we are and stronger and greater. Adversity is good for you. It really is. It makes you strong. That old, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But everybody doing good today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
Hanging out.
Well, you know, now I'm sitting here looking across at Ron, so I want people to know, since he's in studio, that he has over 10 years experience as a strength and speed coach, working with hundreds of athletes from NBA, NFL, PGA, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And his philosophy is very simple: prepare the mind, fuel the body, and train to win. His work has attracted special forces operators and business executives alike, and his approach to performance is evidence-based and practical, and combining years of mentorship from world-renowned coaches and doctors along with direct on-the-job experience. And so I'm looking forward to that, because you're going to tell your personal story, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And then I really want to know, what prevents, not right now, we can talk about it, what prevents people from getting in the gym? Because you talk about struggling. I've really struggled with that lately. Now, I don't go to the gym. I work out at home, and I have all kinds of equipment and kettlebells and heavy balls and heavy ropes and, you know, all these things. But I just have been so sideways with life for months now that it's been really difficult for me to get back in the game, so to speak. So I want to speak on that a little later, because I do think it's so important. And especially right now around the holidays, so many people are tempted with food, bad food all around them, a lot of sugary treats and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. It's everywhere, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it is. And so so you guys want to play some hygge?
Hygge.
Hygge, yeah. Which is spelled hygge. Oh, you weren't here that day last week.
No, I
want to
play.
So Cards Against Humanity, I think, is an awful game. And so we were playing it a couple of weeks ago at the house when my older daughter was in town. And I wanted to throw it in the trash, and I did. When she left, it went in recycling, because the cards. it was the newest one, and it was just awful. What's the newest version called?
The green edition.
Oh, the green edition. Okay, I don't know what that means, because it was anything but green. Green meaning fresh and lovely and alive. It had like most god awful questions, and it was just horrible.
Well, what did green refer to? Was that like
I have no idea. Green, I don't know, like green as in money, green as in marijuana, green as in
I'm thinking broccoli. Saving the earth. What is that?
Saving the earth. Yeah. Well, it sure isn't going to save the earth with the questions they were asking. Oh my gosh, it was awful. And so I saw this real nice, clean, lovely game called Hygge, which is spelled Hygge. I don't even know where it says cozy conversation in pleasant company. And I like that better because I don't want to talk about awful things when you're sitting around a table trying to have fun, right?
On Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, yes. On Thanksgiving of all things, talking about all this awful stuff. And so they're just kind of fun. And so I'm just picking one up here and I'm going to read the one off the top. Okay. Oh, here's a good one. Okay. So what two things, and I think everybody's been asked this question at least once in their life if they're an adult, what two things would you grab from your house if your house were on fire?
Oh, you know what? I actually plan for that. I have like a portfolio thing that I keep all the important papers and stuff like that in. So I would grab that. And of course, my kids.
Yeah. Well, I would grab my kids. They would walk out with me, but all of us would have a dog or a cat in each hand. So, and I've got 11. So we'd be making a few trips and hopefully not go down with the ship. But but what would you grab?
I would grab my dog.
Yeah.
I really think that would be it. That would just really matter that much.
Well, you have two things. So you could grab anything on the way out. Your purse?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. That's really odd. I don't know.
And so, Diamond, of course, I'm going to ask you. Same thing, a pet or maybe your husband.
I don't have
if he was sleeping or something.
Yeah, I don't have any pets. But yeah, if my husband was asleep, I guess I'll take my husband.
Yeah, you take your husband.
I would take the broom that we jumped over when we got married. That's special to me, so I'd want to keep
that. That's nice. Okay, so here's another one. Have you ever prayed on an airplane?
Yes, every time.
Oh, yeah. me too, Lexi. Yeah.
Every time. I
think I have too.
Yeah.
I think everyone has their quiet time on a plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just send good thoughts as we're lifting off. And yeah.
No, I don't do that, but I've been in some really bad weather and where the plane like dropped considerably and scared the absolute bejesus out of me.
Oh, my gosh.
And so then, yeah, I'm pretty sure I prayed. Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. I pray every time.
Do you?
Every single time.
You know you're safer in an airplane than you are far more in a car.
I don't care. I didn't fly my entire life until I was 20 or 21. And so the first time you're in the air with absolutely no control and no nothing is underneath you, it's just like in my head I think of everything that can go wrong. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I need to calm myself. I'm going to pray. We'll be all right.
Well, that's what it is. You're not in control.
Yeah, right? you're not in control. Driving. I hate that.
And I don't want to be in control. I get on a plane and I'm like, woohoo. We flew a couple of weeks ago, Aviana and I, to OKC, and it was a bumpy ride, but it was fun. You know, it was a lot of fun. So what about you, Ron? Have you ever prayed on a plane?
Oh, absolutely. I was in a plane a couple of years ago, and it dropped maybe, I don't know, a couple thousand feet. We lost cabin pressure.
Oh, whoa. See, I've never had that happen. That would probably make
That's my nightmare.
Yeah.
I would pass out.
Pilot came on and said, you know, please everybody go back to your seats immediately. He told us exactly what was happening. I looked up and I saw the flight attendant face go beet red. And I got to thinking to myself, if she's going bright red, I've got some things to worry about.
That's pretty scary. But everything turned out okay?
It was fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a plane travel is very safe. It really is. Very, very safe. Okay. So what about you? Did I already ask you, Diamond?
I pray every time. And I touch the outside of the plane.
That's what my daughter does. What's up with all this superstitious stuff? That's so incredibly interesting to me. And so many people do it, too. They really do.
Yeah, Nia says she does it
every time.
Never
heard of that.
Yeah, no, my youngest does it
all the time.
It's
like an OCD thing, I feel like.
Yeah, it really is. Like, that's going to make a difference.
Well,
but if it makes you think it's going to make a difference and it calms you down, I guess it works for you. But
yeah,
I don't know. Let's see. Have you ever done something that only a few people in the world have done?
I don't
know. Ron's shaking his head, yes. I don't know. I
Let's hear it, Ron.
only a few people in the world?
Exactly.
A few thousand. There was a bike race that I did several years ago called the Leadville 100. And that's
What's it called?
The Leadville 100.
Leadville 100.
100-mile bike race through the top of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado.
Whoa.
Oh, cool.
Only about 30% of the people who start finish the race.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's a pretty good feat. That's definitely a good accomplishment. Do you believe in good luck charms, anyone?
No.
Does coffee count?
Yeah.
Because yes.
Now, Carla, you're looking at me. You do?
Yeah.
You believe a good luck charm? Again, yeah. I think it's the power of intention, the power of thought. Yeah. And so if you believe something's going to make you luckier or lucky, then therefore it probably will, because you're going to perform or think in such a way that you're going to make sure that you're luckier, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I think it's just the energy behind it.
I think we got time for one more and then we're going to go to break. We've got a great show coming up to get today. Like I said, we've got Dr. Meg J coming up and Dr. Johnny Bowden. We're going to be talking about nutrition for cardiovascular health, along with a lot of other things. Dr. Johnny Bowden is an absolute rock star. Okay, so here, these are kind of boring. okay, here's a good one. Okay, have you ever bought something that you were really embarrassed to buy? And if so, what was it?
Oh, geez.
And so we're going to answer that on air?
Sure, go ahead. Right.
I'm not answering that.
Why not? I hate buying tampons. I hate it.
Oh,
I do.
I'm confident.
And I'm still not over it. From the very first time I had to buy them, you know, when I was a kid, you know, till a teenager. But
that is true. You know what? I always buy it with something else. I never just go in there for that.
I'll go in there and get it by myself.
Well, and if it's a woman, it's we all have one. So it's not like it's a big deal. But, you know, what about you, Ron?
I've definitely been sent to the store for
tampons.
Yes.
Did you buy something else with it?
No.
Oh!
I didn't know the proper protocol. It was just like...
Well, you know why I call them tampons? So my oldest daughter, she was just learning to read, and we were in the bathroom one day, and she pointed up at the box, and she said, "Mommy, what are tampons?" And it just kind of stuck. I love it when kids say stuff, you know, like different, and just make it kind of special and fun. Or she used to call it perfectionary sugar. You know, there's a couple of really good ones there. It becomes like family stuff. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, great. We've got a great show coming up, everyone. I'm so excited to have you in studio, Ron. Can't wait to hear your story about overcoming adversity. And Dr. Meg J, she is a PhD. She has an incredible book called Super Normal. And Dr. Johnny Bowden, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Laughing and running, hey, skipping and jumping. In the misty morning fog with...
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Guess what? Charlotte's Web has done it again with their new hemp-infused nourishing body cream and balm. Their thoughtful formulation features beneficial botanicals to help support skin health and beautification. With vitamin B5, aloe, coconut oil, arnica, and shea butter to calm dry, itchy skin and support skin revitalization. And of course, all of the ingredients are sustainably grown, non-GMO, preservative-free, gluten-free, cruelty-free, and packaged in BPA-free containers. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Love that song. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley, and I have Carla and Aviana and Ron in studio with me, and I have Dr. Meg J on the line. She is a fabulous author and doctor. I'm so excited to have her on. She is the author. She is a PhD and author of The Defining Decade and her newest book, Supernormal, The Untold Story of Adversity and Resilience. Dr. J earned her doctorate in clinical psychology Sociology and in Gender Studies from the University of California at Berkeley. She earned a BA with high distinction in psychology from the University of Virginia. Her work has appeared in numerous media outlets, including the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, USA Today, Psychology Today, and she's also been on the BBC, on NPR, and TED Talks. She is a certified clinical trauma professional as well as a certified child and adolescent trauma professional. In her books, Dr. J weaves the latest research of what she hears every day behind the closed doors, the stories of real people, and her books reveal the complex realities that lie behind stereotypes and misconceptions about development and changing how we think about topics such as whether or not our 20s matter and how resilience works and feels. In Supernormal, The Untold Story of Adversity and Resilience, Dr. J explores the secret inner world of those who are resilient. Such an honor to have you on the show. How are you doing today, Dr. J?
I'm doing great, Bernadette. Thank you for such a nice introduction.
Well, you know what? And you're so deserving of it. And this book, I have not read all of it, but I've read, I'm going to guess, about a third of it because I jumped around on it a little bit instead of reading it from beginning to end. But there's some fascinating stories in here that make me feel so normal. So I'm going to ask you to tell our listeners, what does supernormal mean?
Well, supernormal, the word means above the normal or average. And I use the word because to me, that's what resilient people are. They, you know, grow up with some kind of childhood adversity and they have above average outcomes. They beat expectations. They beat the odds. And what I liked about the word was that it hints at how heroic that is. It takes a lot of strength and courage to go out there and rise above your circumstances.
Absolutely. It does, you know, and I feel I would be remiss if I didn't share this with our listeners. You know, I related to a lot of these stories because I was bullied as a kid because of my brother's mental illness. You know, my brother, my brother's, and you talk about this in the book. So for anyone that has a sibling or a mother, a father, you know, a relative that's they're close to that has mental illness, this is an incredible book, a read for you because, like I said, it made me feel better. But, you know, I have no regrets. Growing up with my brother, he was extremely violent, you know. I watched him taken away in a straitjacket. I watched him attempt to kill my parents. But you know what? When I got bullied, it was like, I'm going to stand up for my brother. And it made me so strong, I can't even tell you.
Right. Well, Bernadette, this book is for you.
So, exactly.
And what you're really saying, which is so true for a lot of people, is that, you know, it's very rare that people have one adversity. Actually, 75% of us grow up with at least one significant early adversity, and often they cluster because, like you're saying, if you have a mentally ill family member, for example, or an alcoholic parent, or you're living in poverty, I mean, that can lead to other problems, whether it's neglect or bullying, etc. And so what I wanted to do was, you know, just write a book that wrapped its arms around all of those adversities because often they're related and people feel so alone when they've experienced them when really they have so much more in common with each other than they realize.
Well, I think what it does is it makes you brave as a bear. It just makes you so brave because you have to stand up for yourself. You have to stand up for your family. You know, as I said, when they would take my brother away, and then so God have to get on the bus, you know, the next morning.
Right.
And they would say stuff like, oh, the Fiaschetti crazy house or your brother's crazy, you know, and I would just sit there silently and take it in. But, you know, like I said, it made me internally so much stronger and tougher to face other adversities that maybe other children never had to face that. So I almost think it gave me an advantage or an edge in life.
Right. You know, it really does in a lot of ways. And what I wanted the book to do was to hold both of those, is to not be this kind of like lemonade out of lemons of adversities all upside. Because of course, as you know, it's very painful and very difficult. Yet the supernormal aspect is, hey, you know, notice all the ways that you've been courageous and strong, that you're brave as a bear, like you said, because I think a lot of people who grow up with hardship, they feel very abnormal, like you're saying. People say you're not like everyone else, you're different. But many resilient people, obviously, they're different in some amazing ways because they've really learned how to adapt.
Yeah, and I think it gives you a greater propensity to love. And accept.
Right, absolutely.
And therefore, you open your heart and your mind to things you might not normally have opened your mind to, and you get a huge education from that.
You certainly do. You certainly do. Because you see, you know what it's like to have struggled or to have suffered, or for your sibling to, or your parent or whoever it is. And so, you know, there's lots of research about how people who grow up with hard times tend to be more compassionate and more inclusive and more empathic because they know what it feels like to struggle.
Well, what are some well-known modern-day supernormals?
Well, as you said, the book is really about everyday people, but I include some public figures in there, probably 36, but, you know, just snippets here and there. But we're talking about Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Viola Davis, Sonia Sotomayor, Andre Agassi, Elon Musk. Just he's not in the book, but he just gave a great interview in Rolling Stone about how he grew up with hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And I included them not to say, you know, this is the kind of extraordinary success you have to achieve to be resilient, but to say, hey, for all those people out there who are struggling or who feel abnormal, actually, you're in really good company. I mean, these people had a tough start, too.
Well, yeah, and you also mentioned one of my favorite books and favorite men, God bless his soul, he's passed, but Viktor Frankl, who earned an MD and a PhD. And look at the struggle, my goodness, you know, being exposed to such violence and horrific treatment of other human beings throughout the Holocaust. It's just an amazing book as well, Man's Search for Meaning. You know, your subtitle of the book is The Untold Story of Adversity and Resilience. So what is that untold story?
What's the untold story? The untold story, I mean, this is what I hear every day in my office behind closed doors, is people tell me what they don't openly say to other people or what we don't openly talk about. And that is that adversity, like you're talking about, growing up with mental illness and or bullying and or what else, is much more common than we recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And that resilience is much more complicated than we recognize. That, you know, we imagine, you know, people might hear your successes and say, well, Bernadette, you just bounced right back.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're saying, it wasn't actually like that, that it was really more of a battle. And I'm guessing a pretty protracted one.
Yeah.
Not just a snap back and as if nothing ever bothered you. That's not the way resilience really works.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, throughout the book, you weave in neuroscience as well. So what do we need to understand about the brain in the context of childhood adversity and resilience?
Well, I think what we need to understand is that most early adversities, such as mental illness in the home or bullying, they're chronic stressors. So these are not one-day events like a car accident or a tornado. So what you have are millions of people who grow up in really a chronic state of fight or flight. And so what that does to the brain is it basically wires you to be in fight or flight much of the time, which can lead to some kind of incredible adaptations, like you were saying. It makes people fighters. It
mm-hmm.
makes them, you know, very savvy about managing their environment. However, over time, it also overexposes us to our stress hormones. And so part of the challenge of adulthood is learning how to get out of that survival fight or flight mode and get into a place where we can thrive and not put such stress on our brains and bodies.
Well, yeah, and I love that in the book, in Supernormal, you write about superheroes. I just saw the newest movie with the Justice League. Absolutely
nice.
Loved it. I left there feeling like, oh my gosh, I can do anything. I've got to go out and fight all these injustices in the world. But you write about superheroes such as Superman and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman to help explain supernormals. So where did that metaphor come from?
Well, that came from my clients, that what I learned, and I'd be curious if you had anything like this, but a lot of people talk about when they were younger, when they were sort of getting on that bus every day or watching their brother being taken away in the straitjacket, whatever it was, that they often identified, not with the word resilient, but they identified with superheroes or superheroic
mm-hmm.
characters because, like I said, they understood what it meant to live in fight or flight. They felt like every day they were dodging bullets or leaping over buildings. And, you know, a lot of them grow up and say, I'm going to put on a cape and do some good in the world. Like you said, there's a lot of injustice out there. And once you've seen it, you often want to do something about it. So I felt like it was a metaphor that was really did justice to the experience of being resilient.
Yeah, oh, I could just talk to you forever. I'm having memories of, and this is something you talk about in your book too, how even when you're facing adversity, you try to normalize your environment. I can remember my brother had multiple personalities and you never knew which one he was going to be on any given day, and how you would react to that personality or how you deal with it, or if you called him the wrong name, that of the wrong personality, you never knew how he was going to react. And so it was just kind of crazy. But again, it taught me so much about dealing with all types of adversity, which made me just brave as a bear, like I said, you know, gave me a lot of tools in my toolbox that I would not have had without that experience.
I'll bet. I'll bet you're pretty crafty at being a chameleon or shape-shifting where necessary, especially when you didn't know which brother you were going to get.
Yeah. Well, and one more thing before we go to break. You say that love may be the strongest and the most elusive superpower of all. Why is that?
Well, you know, for most people who grow up with hardship, they're harmed in the context of relationship. Mm-hmm. And so that can be the most difficult place in adulthood to get out there and be brave, to try to have a family when you know that maybe not all families are happy, or to have a partner when you saw a marriage that didn't go so well. But we also know that having love in our lives in whatever form, having relationships, having people who care, is one of the leading predictors about whether people will fare well after adversity. Going it alone is just more stressful for our brains and our body than having people in our lives, but that can be a risky thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Well, in my kitchen many years ago, I wrote down the words, love is rich. And I never forgot it, because I feel that's really, truly what makes you rich. No matter what happens in your life, if you have true love, or just love in your life through your children, your family, whoever, your friends, then everything's going to be okay, right?
I agree.
Right. Such a pleasure to talk with you. I encourage everyone to buy your book. It is amazing. It's called Supernormal, The Untold Story of Adversity and Resilience. Dr. Meg J., thank you so much.
Thank you, Bernadette.
All right. Take care. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got Dr. Johnny Bowden coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why ICW? ICW because Charlotte's Web is an amazing family-owned Colorado company founded by the Stanley Brothers. CW Hemp leads the industry in quality, safety, consistency, and social responsibility to improve lives daily through the use of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. I personally use CW for calm and focus. CW Hemp helps me perform my best every day, and that's why I CW. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Hi, it's Bernadette. Introducing Charlotte's Web new hemp-infused coffee. Cannabis coffee that doesn't get you high. Boost your morning with antioxidants and neuroprotectants. A calm cup of coffee for improved focus and clarity. Charlotte's Web new 5280 hemp-infused coffee from Snow Street Coffee and Charlotte's Web. Dedicated to quality and responsibly sourced products. Colorado companies Snow Street Coffee and CW Hemp have come together to create a great tasting coffee that features the unique benefits of cannabinoids. In creating this coffee, great taste was and is the priority. Roasted in small batches, 5280 Coffee blends a mix of diverse coffees from the Central American Highlands. Their whole bean coffee is always roasted medium for full coffee flavor and balance, and then infused with a blend of CW cannabinoid extract in MCT-rich coconut oil. Once combined with the unmatched care that goes into Charlotte's Web, the results are a fantastic cup of coffee with an added daily health and wellness boost. Available in a 12-ounce resealable bag with 500 milligrams of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. Find them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. Sorry, my brain just went to another page in my book. But I've got Diamond Gray in studio with me, Carla Palmer, Aviana Barrientos, and I have Dr. Johnny Bowden on the line. He is also known as the Nutrition Mythbuster. He is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health. He has been seen on Dr. Oz, The Doctors, and every major television network in the world. He is the best-selling author of 15 books. Dr. Johnny earned 6 certifications in personal training and fitness and has a master's degree in psychology, a PhD in holistic nutrition, and is a board certified. He is board certified by the American College of Nutrition and has been on the show many times. I love this guy. How are you doing today, Dr. Johnny?
I'm great. We're having a little cold wave in Southern California, but we don't get much sympathy for that. So waves are like warm waves everywhere else. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you know what? I like you. I love the warm weather. I really do.
Oh, man.
I love the sunshine. It changes my whole day when the sun is shining, like many people.
Yep, you know, like many people.
Yes. And you know, you're such an authority on this subject, nutrition for cardiovascular health.
My favorite subject.
It is your favorite subject, and you've written many books about it. And you know many people still believe in the misinformed information that we've gotten for the last 50 years advising people to avoid saturated fat, eat margarine or polyunsaturated oils instead of butter and foods high in cholesterol, which are all conventions that have now been proven scientifically to be incorrect. What else do you want people to know?
Oh, God. Well, I did an article not too long ago about 9 tips for cardiovascular health. And I was just looking at it in preparation for this to see what I was talking about then. I see that every one of those things I still stand by today. They just were true then and they're true now. And it's interesting that number 5 on the list was get some sun and spend some time outdoors, which, by the way, is exactly what you just said. That's so healthy for us to do. And that's another myth, you know, that we have to slather SPF 50 on ourselves, you know, just to go to the store to get a quart of milk. And that's why we have such a vitamin D deficiency in this country. So, yes, vitamin D, very important for heart health. Get some sun, even 10 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week of unprotected sun. Really, really good for you and good for your heart.
Well, so you wrote this article how many years ago?
Oh, God, a couple years ago.
Yeah. And so what are some of these other tips? Because so many people, you know, in an article in the Wellbeing Journal that you wrote as well, you were interviewed, and it talked about...
love that magazine.
I do, too. Magazine. Absolutely do, too. And where is it? I had it circled. I thought it was when someone says, here's what it is. I'm just going to pull it out from memory. Something along the lines that when someone asks you if you think you have good cardiovascular health, the first thing they say is, well, I've got good cholesterol.
Yep.
You know?
Any cocktail party you go to, any part of the country, guaranteed. Ask people, so how's your health? How's your heart going? And the very first thing 9 out of 10 people are going to tell you is how their cholesterol is. And their doctor says their cholesterol is fine, or they're on a medication for it, so everything's good. And, you know, if I have one mission in life, one legacy I would like to leave behind, it's like, stop it. This is not a measure of heart health. This is not a predictor of heart health. This is the wrong metric to be looking at. Plus, we're not even measuring it in the modern way that actually gives us some useful information. So stop with the cholesterol. That was actually my second point on the 9 steps was stop worrying about fat, including saturated fat.
Absolutely.
You know, as you said in your introduction, at the time I wrote this, I think there were 3 major studies. Now there are over 4, possibly a 5th that I just read about recently that I have to investigate a little more. But they're coming out like on a regular basis. Saturated fat doesn't cause heart disease, folks. It's not even well related to it. The combination of sugar and fat, that's a different story.
Yeah. Well,
so number 1 on my list was reduce sugar and processed carbs. Everybody talks for the last 40 years. They've been talking about keeping our heart healthy by reducing fat. That was the we identified the wrong culprit. It's sugar and processed carbs that promote heart disease. And I just read a really interesting study showing that sugar actually promotes cancer cells as well.
Oh,
we
yeah.
always knew that sugar feeds cancer cells. We didn't think it caused them. Now there's evidence that it actually may cause them as well. So, you know, sugar and processed carbs, if you're going to identify a villain in the diet, that's it. It was never fat. Fat was wrongly accused. I always feel that it's like one of those, you know how these guys spend 30 years in prison and then a new DNA evidence comes out and they go, oh, they were innocent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did with fat. And now the version of DNA evidence is all these studies that have looked at saturated fat consumption in terms of heart disease, and they find no relationship. Let me repeat that. No relationship.
It's so interesting. We've been so lied to, basically. We've been so duped. And you know, you wrote the book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, another great book that you gave the American people a great understanding about all of that and what's
you.
Been going on. It's a great book, a great
thank
one.
You. And I'm gonna be a little more conciliatory here. I don't think we've been so much lied to. I think what's happened is that there was some gung-ho research interests back in the 50s and 60s. We didn't know what was causing heart disease. The country was worried about it. Eisenhower, who had been our president, had a heart attack in office. It was the first time that had happened in a long time. All of a sudden, the country's concerned about heart disease. And some researchers had a hypothesis that it was related to fat. And they did the best they could with the tools they had. The research was terrible. I don't think it would be published today, but it did get published then, and it created quite a stir. And we just adopted this theory, and people really believed it. I don't think that there was some malicious conspiracy of doctors saying, hey, let's get everybody on a statin drug, because, you know, that wasn't it. Well-meaning people honestly believed this. And then once that happened, then it took on a life of its own. Then the drug companies got involved with the statin drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started supporting all these studies that, oh, convinced, surprisingly showed that, yes, heart disease was caused by fat and cholesterol, and you could fix it with a statin drug. So all those studies are now coming under the gun and being reevaluated and being seen for what they really are, which is kind of a marketing plan for statin drugs, not real science.
Yeah. Well, there's so much good information out there, and I'd like to bring this up if I could. This is from Jeff Volek at the University of Ohio.
Oh, of course.
Okay,
yep.
And this is in this article from the Well-Being Journal. It says, when there are low levels of carbohydrates in the body, saturated fat is more likely to be burned for fuel. However, when fat is mixed with high sugar and refined carbohydrate diet, the mixture challenges the body. And so I thought of that when you were talking about the connection to sugar and cancer.
Jeff Volek is one of the, for those who don't know, one of the leading researchers, academic researchers in the field of higher fat diets, low carbohydrate diets. He's an ex-power lifter, by the way. He's in amazing shape. And he's been at the forefront of this kind of research for a long time. Real academic guy. He's published a couple hundred studies or co-authored a couple hundred studies on this. So he really knows what he's talking about. And he's told me that in interviews, the exact same words you just quoted, that when saturated fat behaves differently in the body when you're consuming a lower carbohydrate diet, when you mix – I mean, the most lethal combination is sugar and fat. And when people are absolutely unwilling to reduce the sugar in their diet, I tell them, go on a low-fat diet. That's the only time it makes sense, is if you're not going to reduce the sugar in your diet. But when you can get the sugar down, you have nothing to fear from saturated fat whatsoever.
Yeah, well, and this is something that you talk about a lot, too, and it's so important for heart health, cardiovascular health. You talk about in your first book, I don't know if it was your first book, but the book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, I'm going to go back to that again, because in there, that was the first time I read about the little town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania.
Oh, the Rosetto phenomenon.
Yes.
I'd forgotten about that, that was in that book. That wasn't, by the way, my first book. It was my 12th.
Oh, okay.
It was the very first one that was really famous, I think, except for maybe the 150 healthiest foods on earth.
Yeah.
So,
well,
but the Rosetta phenomenon, this is really interesting. So it was in the 1920s, and there's this area in Pennsylvania called Rosetto. It's a little town, and it's a real hard scrapple town, Bernadette. I mean,
yeah.
These are like miners, and their jobs, they're breathing fumes. They ate a horrible diet, and most of them smoked.
Yep.
It was a health hazard waiting to happen. It was like a hazmat. Everybody needed to wear hazmat suits in that town. It just wasn't a healthy environment in any way. And there was this remarkable thing, and it's a kind of interesting story how it got discovered. It was a couple of doctors in the area who met in a bar, and they were kind of comparing notes, and they go, yeah, I practice in Rosetta. You know, we don't have any heart disease there. What's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what do you mean you don't have any heart disease there? They all smoke. They all eat this horrible diet. Most of them are in very, very difficult jobs with a lot of environmental exposure to all kinds of toxins. What do you mean? Well, there's no heart disease. So they started, well, I shouldn't say no. There was vanishingly low rates of heart disease given the number of conditions that would predict that people would be very sick.
Right.
So they started investigating this town. Like, what's going on here? Why don't these people get sick at the level that we would think they would given their lifestyle? Investigated, and guess what they really came up with?
They found
out that the social fabric, these were all immigrants, and they came from the same area, and they had incredibly tight social bonds.
Mm-hmm.
They ate dinner together. They had family gatherings. They helped one another. They were in a community. They were neighborly. They had these kinds of strong social bonds, and those bonds are believed to be so strong that they were able to compensate for some of the ridiculously, unhealthy habits that these people had. Because of that component of health, and that's actually number 9 on my list. Cultivate nourishing relationships.
Well,
and I'm not talking about Facebook friends.
Right.
I'm talking about people whose eyes you can look into, whose skin you can touch, who you can be compassionate with and involved with, not Facebook friends and likes.
Right.
That's what the people in Rosetta had, and it was shown then what a powerful component of health that is.
Absolutely. Your friends and your family out there blocking and tackling for you, and I'm just going to leave our listeners with this, and these are your words to Dr. Johnny. Pharmaceutical companies cannot make a profit, talking about the importance of social connections and the family dinner. I love it. Thank you.
Absolutely true. I don't remember writing that, but thank you. It's 100% true.
It is, and it's beautiful. And thank you so much for jumping on the air with us. Can't wait to talk with you again soon.
Anytime. Thank
you. All right. Dr. Johnny Bowden, everyone. Great guy. Go to Amazon.com. Check out his books. There's how many of them? Like 15?
Yeah,
but the 150 Healthiest Foods is a fabulous book as well. Stay tuned, everyone. We've got Ron Inserta coming up. We're going to be talking about overcoming adversity. You're listening to One Life Radio. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Hi, I'm Eli Roth for PETA. While violence in the movies is make-believe, sadly, violence against animals is all too real. Countless animals are tortured and abused every day, and most of the time, these crimes go unreported. If you know of someone who is abusing an animal, please tell the police or tell an adult. People who get away with hurting animals often turn their violence against people, and that's a cycle we need to break. So let's leave the violence where it belongs, on the screen.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Carla Palmer in studio and Aviana Barrientos. And I have Ron Inserta in studio with us today. He has over 10 years experience as a strength and speed coach, working with hundreds of athletes from the NBA, NFL, the PGA, the National Ski Team, and the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team. His philosophy is simple: prepare the mind, fuel the body, and train to win. He has his work has attracted special forces operators and business executives alike. His approach to performance is evidence-based and practical, combining years of mentorship from world-renowned coaches and doctors, along with direct on-the-job experience. Over the past 4 years, Ron has taken his passion for athletic performance and health to an entrepreneurial level and has built an amazing 9,000-square-foot sports training facility where hundreds of like-minded members, clients, and athletes come every week to take part in one of his many revered training programs. But before that, let me give your history for you, if I may. Okay, so, you know, Ron was an only child raised by a single mother and his grandmother. He never met his father. He started living alone at 17. He had his first son at 21. He started his first business at 27 years old. A ski crash happened. Okay, he broke his hip and his back, severe concussion, severe pain, which led to depression and anxiety 1 month before you opened your gym, Oak Fit, just 1 month before. So take it from there. What did you feel like after that crash, knowing that it was you're about to open your first entrepreneurial 9,000 square foot sports training facility, which is a huge endeavor?
Well, it really wasn't a second thought. I was in Colorado, obviously, for the ski crash. I remember going through the ER, going through the trauma, getting checked out. And my first thought was getting back home because I was right in the middle of building the gym still.
Wow.
I came back home. Fortunately, it happened the week before Christmas. So the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's kind of bought me some time to rest up. But, I mean, I was still banged up.
Broken back, broken hip. I mean, severe concussion, severe pain. Did the depression and the anxiety start right away, or was it, you know, when you had to really, you know, once you got home, did it start then, or was it immediately?
No, not at all. It didn't actually kick in until about 8 or 9 months later.
Really?
Yep. So
you had the fight or flight kind of going on.
Exactly, and I had so much adrenaline rushing. You know,
right.
I was trying to build a business.
Yep.
We had our grand opening in April. I pushed and pushed and pushed. I finally hired a staff. We had everything going. It was great. Right around September-ish, I had a crash. It woke up one day and I couldn't get out of bed, didn't want to get out of bed, had never felt that in my life.
Hmm.
you know, obviously that whole 8 months is kind of a story of my upbringing. I never stopped.
How long did it last?
It was really heavy for about 2 to 3 months, and then it lingered. I finally realized and finally owned up to what it was. You know, for a long time, I was in denial. I'm not mm-hmm. depressed. You know, I don't have anxiety. You know, I'm just dealing with some stuff. I'm dealing with stress, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in denial.
Were you suicidal?
I wasn't.
That's good.
Yeah. But I was in a place that I'd never been before. It was so unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. I did reach out. I did see counseling. I had therapist sessions every week. And that helped me at least talk it out and voice it out. And mm-hmm. that's when I finally started coming out with my friends and family and telling them, hey, look, I can't handle this right now. I don't know what it is. You know, at that point, I went and sought treatment from doctors and got brain scans, everything. And that's when they started to evaluate.
How old were you when this happened? You were 27 when that happened?
Maybe 28.
28.
Yeah.
And that's still relatively young. But, you know, at some point, you're going to face adversity in your life, like we were talking about earlier with Dr. J. You know, she wrote the book Supernormal. I think that you're going to face life. You're going to face adversity one way or another. I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are. Everybody has issues. Everybody has problems. And I think at 28, you're maybe not as well equipped. And especially if things were going really, really well, that's maybe why it hit you so hard, because it's the first time. And we all get taken out of the game a little bit sometimes. But at 28, I think you don't have perhaps as much strength as you do when you're a little bit older. Let me just say that.
Well, I think as a 28-year-old male, I mean, I was on top of the world. I just started my first business.
Right.
Everything was great. You know, everything was awesome.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I can't get out of a bed. And I couldn't think straight. I couldn't handle stress. I couldn't handle simple conversations. Because I was also dealing with severe nerve damage in my back.
Right.
Right. And so that nerve
damage.
So you're
in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Were you on painkillers? Do you think that led to the anxiety and the depression?
I'm not sure if that caused it, but I wouldn't deny that it didn't help. But at that point, standing up for more than 8 minutes at a time was difficult.
Wow. Did you gain weight?
Oh, I probably gained about 35 pounds.
Oh, wow. Well, that in itself will cause depression. Even up to 10 pounds can cause mild depression, or even, you know, not being as well hydrated. And of mm-hmm. course, you know, trying to take control of your thoughts, it's a big deal to open a business.
Yeah. Well,
no matter how big or small it is, it's a lot of responsibility.
So the weight gain, I couldn't train, I couldn't work out. And, you know, for me, my entire life was built on riding my bike, playing sports, whether it was football, baseball, hockey, golf, everything. I was always playing. You know, when it went early 20s, got into working out, got into training, got into training hard, you know, racing bikes all over the country. And again, that went to a dead halt.
Right. Do you think what got you out of it was being humble and realizing that you needed to talk to other people about what you were feeling and the fears that you had, the thoughts that you had, the weight gain, the pain you were dealing with?
It was a lot of humility. It really was. Being that open and transparent about being a male who's depressed,
right?
Being a male who's suffering from anxiety,
mm-hmm.
Was something that I'd never had thought about before. You know, I've got clients, I've got athletes, I've got all these members who
you're
talk.
Supposed to be the man.
I'm supposed
walking
to be the
in
man.
There, that's right.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, whoa, here it is. I had to just kind of open and say, hey, look, this is what I'm dealing with. This is exactly what it is. It's depression.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you know, I often think, I mean, I'm looking at Carla because she's one of your personal friends as well. You work out at his gym, Oak Fit. You know, I think that in life, sometimes you need a good old dose of humility, something to happen to you to actually make you stronger and a better person, so you're more able to relate to other people and their suffering, which only makes you a greater leader.
Well, exactly. And so going back to what Dr. J and Dr. Bowden said, and talking about, you know, getting back to the table and bringing making your social your social unit stronger.
Yeah.
Right? That's literally
social
what I talk
connections.
About every week at the gym. I make it about transparency, humility, and coming all to the table.
Well, we're going to talk more about this. You're going to have to come on the show again. Your segment got cut a little bit short. It just happens sometime at the end when we've got such huge guests on the show. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you for listening. You can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn, or you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.